everyone. I'm Tucson Sentinel government and political impact reporter Jim Ninsel, sitting in for the legendary Bill Buckmaster here on The Buckmaster Show. It's Wednesday, October 23rd, and producer Tom Fairbanks is across the window from me here in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Later in today's show, we'll be talking with author and adventurer Richard Grant, whose new book is A Race to the Bottom of Crazy, Dispatches from Arizona. But first, I want to give big thanks to my team of doctors at Pima Heart and Vascular. 1 year ago today, I was rolling in for surgery. I had a minor inconvenience of a quadruple bypass. A bad diet and not nearly enough exercise had left my pipes pretty clogged. And let me tell you, when they say they're going to stop your heart for a few hours so they can replumb your system and then give you a little jolt of electricity to get the old ticker working again, it can be a lot to process. I'm delighted to say that it all went great. I'm fully recovered and just astounded by what medical science has done. And again, so grateful for the care I received at Tucson Medical Center. You know, I started down this road when my primary care doc suggested I get what's called a coronary calcium scan. I didn't have any worrisome symptoms, but one of my older brothers had a minor heart attack a few years back, so Dr. D thought I should get this test. He said the insurance company wouldn't cover it, but it was worth the $200. And you know what? He was totally right, because it probably saved my life. It showed I had some blockages, which sent me to a cardiologist at Pima Heart and Vascular, and then another series of tests that eventually showed I had 100% blockage in one artery and 70% in the other three. About 6 weeks later, 1 year ago today, I rolled into the OR. All things considered, it sure beat arriving at the hospital in an ambulance after a major heart attack. And it really brought home to me the importance of a healthy lifestyle and why exercise every day is important and how screenings like this can really save your life. Which brings me to today's guest, Anne Hoffman, who is an assistant director of public health for Pima County. Anne is here to talk about how we can get healthy and stay healthy and hopefully stay out of the cardiac ICU. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show, Anne. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do at Pima County Health Department and the department's role in helping keep our whole community healthy.
Oh, thank you for having me. So I am the Assistant Director of Clinical Services with the public for the Pima County Health Department. So what my role is, and my great team of people, is we make sure that our three brick-and-mortar clinics are up and running smooth, along with three different mobile units that we go and take out in the community. And recently, I've started going to Ajo and serving that community.
And am I right to say that the best way to avoid all kinds of health trouble is to eat well and keep your body moving with exercise?
100%. But I think we can add just a few things to that if you'd like.
Yes.
So we're probably going to talk about a couple things that are going to make our listeners cringe because they're like, I know it, but I don't want to do it. But I think that we've got a couple healthy tips to keep your heart healthy, and not only your heart, but your entire body. So heart disease actually is the leading cause of death in the United States. One in three women actually are diagnosed with heart disease annually. But the good thing about heart disease, if there is a good thing, is that we can prevent it if we take small steps. So one of those steps that we are going to start out with is eating better. So that means reading labels, which I know can be laborious, but reading the label tells you what kind of sodium does it have in it, the amounts of sugar it has in it, and consider changing out your meat. So maybe having two meatless meals a week. The other thing is, if you're anything like me, I love the crunch of food. So I have changed out chips and crackers for carrots, and I still get that crunch. So I like it. So those are things that we can do. The other thing is, and I think I can say this for a lot of us, we don't get enough sleep. So sleep really helps regenerate the body. It gives us time to rest. It gives us time to kind of recuperate. And so aiming for 7 to 9 hours of sleep is super important. Some tips to make that happen is, well, if you're anything like me, it's hard to turn off my brain. I don't know. Are you thinking all the time about things?
No, yeah.
So turning off that brain, but a way to do it is making sure that the room is dark, that it's cooler than the rest of the room. And then something that some of us are really bad about is putting away that phone. We don't need to see that light in the room. Put it away so you don't have to see it.
How about having a TV on when you go to sleep?
You know, I fall asleep to a TV, so I can't really say anything about that.
Let me go back to the diet for a second.
Yeah.
When I first learned about my heart troubles, and I am a type 2 diabetic, and my blood sugars were running high, the doctor said, hey, go do this extremely low-carb diet via a local outfit called the Diet of Hope. And I'm wondering, how bad are carbs?
You know, carbs, from a diabetic standpoint, you really have to watch, right? You want to make sure that you're understanding what kind of carbs you're putting into your body. So there's good carbs and bad carbs. So I think that the reference that you got of going to the Diet of Hope, where they have a new whole band of nutritionists and things, can really walk you through of, this is a good one, and this is a not so good one. But if you eat this not so good one, make sure you incorporate exercise into it.
Okay. And, you know, I mentioned I got this calcium screening, cardiac calcium screening, and it was not covered by the insurance company, but I'm certainly glad I went and spent the $200 to go over to the Radiology Limited and have that done, because it really put me on a path towards, better health.
Yeah.
What sort of screenings should people be trying to get, or checkups, or what have you?
So I think one of the most important screenings when it comes to heart disease is your blood pressure. So making sure that you're tracking and trending your blood pressure. And there are great gadgets out there now on the market that you can buy just at a Walgreens or a CVS. And even if you want a blood pressure monitor, the Pima County Health Department actually has some that will sit down and show you how to use. And they're really simple. They can go right on your wrist, and we walk you through how to put your hand, where to put your hand, and then making sure that you're consistent about taking it at the same times every day. And logging it so that when you do go in to see your provider, you have a log of, here's what it was in the morning and here's what it was at night. Because your blood pressure really tells you a lot about your body as a whole. So the higher your blood pressure could mean that there's something going on in your body. And it could lead to that it shows that you're showing signs of stress, which is also a contributor to heart disease.
So what is your blood pressure for listeners out there who don't know?
So if you think about it, and your heart pumps, and the sound of your heart pump is a lub dub, lub dub, lub dub. So the faster or the harder it pounds, the harder your blood or the higher your blood pressure is going to be. So we really want to try to see blood pressure within a range of about 130 to 80. Now, everybody's body is a little bit different, right? And our genetic factors are a little bit different. So those are kind of placeholders that we as clinicians look at. And then we look at the person holistically and as a whole and say, what are you doing? How are you eating? What are some stress factors? But knowing what your blood pressure should be is really important to keep you on track.
And what else do folks need to know about keeping their heart healthy?
Well, let's talk about exercise, which is not always the funnest thing, especially when it's 100 degrees out still in October. But even a small amount of exercise leads to great outcomes. So it's making it a habit. So instead of sitting at your desk all the time, maybe think about standing up and maybe having a stand-up type workstation. Or taking 10 minutes out of your day just to walk around the building, because maybe it's too hot to walk around on the inside. So do your laps around the halls. We know we do that at the health department all the time. We have a walking group that just does stairs and halls when it's hot outside. So even a small amount is great.
And weightlifting is part of that?
So weightlifting can be part of that. But, you know, have you ever heard of deadlifting?
Mm-hmm.
So deadlifting isn't really going to get your heart rate up. It's going to build some great muscles. But what we really want is to get your heart rate up for periods during the day. So if you're doing a brisk walking, that your heart rate's going up, not necessarily when you're always deadlifting or weightlifting.
Okay. You know, this is probably a good place to take our first break. And so let's go ahead and do that. And then we'll come back and chat some more with Ann Hoffman from the Pima County Health Department.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
On average, the Regional Transportation Authority annually contributes over $100 million to regional transportation improvements to supplement limited federal and state funds. This critical funding source provides funding for nearly two-thirds of our region's needed transportation improvements through its 2006 voter-approved half-cent sales tax. To receive updates on a new 20-year plan in development, visit rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
We are back with the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. I'm Jim Nintzel, Government and Political Impact Reporter with the Tucson Sentinel, and I'm talking today with Ann Hoffman, an Assistant Director for Clinical Services with the Pima County Health Department. And we were talking about ways to try to avoid heart trouble, and smoking is another thing that you probably shouldn't be doing if you want to keep your heart healthy.
Yeah, you know, any amount of smoking, even just the occasional smoking, can damage your heart and your blood vessels. So quitting, I always say, is not a sprint, it's a marathon, because you're going to have lots of hills to climb up and lots of roadblocks and things like that, but you got to keep doing it. So Jim, just some really quick statistics. When you stop smoking for 20 minutes, your heart will return back to normal. In 24 hours, you've reduced your risk of having a heart attack. And in 2 weeks of not smoking, your circulation improves and your lungs become stronger. And then in 1 to 9 months, the lining of your lungs begins to regrow. So that's great. Now let's talk a little bit about e-cigarettes and vaping, because that's huge in our population right now. So while it's new, studies still show that there is a risk of elevated blood pressure, an increased risk of your heart rate, and your blood vessels restricting with vaping and e-cigarettes. So stopping is good on all levels.
All right. And the vaping isn't necessarily a healthier way.
No, it's not. No.
Okay. All right. And then any other heart tips that you think are important to share with us and our listeners today?
So certain infections can lead to heart disease in your body. So keeping a really close eye on even your oral health, right? Because your oral health leads into almost every organ into your body. So making sure that you're brushing and flossing on a regular basis. And then other illnesses that are caused by infection will even make your heart problems worse. So think of COVID or flu or pneumonia. So those are all things that we can vaccinate against, which will give you just a step up with those infections and make sure that you stay healthy.
And you mentioned COVID, cold, flu season, all on the horizon here. We do have new vaccines for the flu and COVID that have come out this fall.
We have. And the Pima County Health Department actually can give you those flu and COVID vaccines at any one of our locations. You can walk in. You don't need an appointment, and we'll give them to you right then and there.
And these are updated
These are the versions. Updated ones, you bet.
Yep. Okay. And if you've had COVID recently, should you get the shot, or do you have the natural antibodies?
No. You should absolutely get it. It's a booster, right? And so as we know, COVID has changed and morphed into different things. And so that's why when you said, is it the new one? Yes. So those strains, you want to make sure that you're getting the most updated booster.
Okay. And if you have health insurance, it's generally covered?
It's generally covered. But again, at the health department, even if you come in and you don't have your health card with you, we're not going to turn you away. We're going to give it to you because we want to protect you and the community.
And how do people find out that where the locations are for your...
So our locations are on the Pima County Health Department website, and we try to have them strategically placed. So we have one on the northwest side on First Street. We have one on the east side on Broadway and Cold. And then we have one on the south side off of Valencia.
Okay. And you said First Street, but First Avenue,
First
right?
Ave, First,
by yep. River Road?
No, not quite. It's the Prince and Fort Lowell area.
Oh, Prince and Fort Lowell area. Okay. And COVID seems to be a little less of a problem than it was, 4 years ago when we were all sheltering in place and avoiding each other as much as possible. But it's still a problem out there, right?
It is, right? And it's interesting. I just had one of my staff members send me a text this morning that said, I'm not in today. I've got COVID. And so it's still going around.
And most dangerous for folks who are older and overweight. Right?
Or
suffer from not pre-existing conditions, but...
Yes, older, overweight, those that have, pre-existing conditions, diabetes, again, even heart issues. Mm-hmm. So for sure, we want to keep those, address those.
And COVID tests, we're not really, it's a lot more difficult to track how COVID is spreading through our community, I think, because people are no longer going and lining up for the tests and you guys aren't tracking it. And there's a lot of home COVID tests and folks can certainly report it to you if they test positive, and you encourage folks to do that, but they're not necessarily doing that. So,
no, they're not. So again, I think it goes back to good hand washing. Never stop washing your hands, because you're out and about with these crowds. You can catch it anywhere. So good hand washing is super important. If you want a test and you need tests, we've got those tests for you.
And how do we get COVID tests these days?
So basically what ends up happening is you can purchase them at a pharmacy. But again, the health department has COVID tests for you. So you can walk in at any place and just even ask for some and we'll give them.
Okay. And libraries?
Our libraries still have some of them too. Not as many as they did before, but we try to keep them well stocked. And even if you see our mobile van out and about, we've got them there.
And you can order them from the federal government again.
You still can, yes.
Yeah. And what if your COVID test says that it's expired?
Oh, any expired thing. I think it doesn't have the validity that it should. And since there's still a number of tests out there, try to find the current one.
Okay. If you test positive, should you take some kind of antiviral?
Not unless you go and you talk with a provider about it, right? So your provider may say, listen, given your risk factors, we want to put you on this. And there's a couple on the market right now and they've changed. But I think it's important that you talk with your provider about that, because they're going to be the ones that make sure you're getting the right kind.
All right. Let's shift gears a little bit. It's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Can you talk a little bit about breast cancer and what people should be on the lookout for and the types of screenings?
It is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. If you haven't noticed, all the football players are wearing pink right now. So that's in kind of to bring it to the forefront. So yes, October is a big month for this. So it is really important that women get screened for breast cancer. It, again, is one of the highest leading causes of death in women in the United States when it comes to cancers. And so getting out there and screening, learning how to do a self-exam is super important. And then really making sure that you're following through with that if you've got a genetic disposition for it. So if you know that you're at risk for it because maybe you had an aunt or a mother or somebody in your family, important to follow up on that.
All right. And then breast cancer is certainly not the only cancer out there. It is October, but we can certainly talk about some of the others. And what are some screenings that folks should get possibly for other forms of cancer?
So colon rectal cancer, right? We screen for that in our clinics. We want to make sure that you're getting screened, and then we make sure that you're getting what the correct follow-up for that. So colorectal screening is super important. If you are a smoker or a vapor, making sure that your oral health is looked at, because that can lead to throat and gum cancer. You know, lung cancer, when we talk about, again, smoking, then there too.
And outside of the cancers and the heart disease, which I think account for a lot of the illnesses that kill us each year, what else should folks be doing for the sake of their health?
You know what? I think that it is understanding what your risks are, making sure that you're making healthy choices, and then taking those steps to reduce your chances of getting a heart disease or diabetes, right? So understanding those three things are super important in your and just your overall health.
And how often should we be visiting our primary care doc for that checkup?
Well, you know, that's hard when it comes to insurance, right? So insurance kind of sometimes dictates how often you can go. My recommendation right now is if you've got a primary care provider, make sure that you're touching base with them on a pretty regular basis, maybe every 6 months if you're not having any problems, because they might want to get you in for labs and things. But if you are at high risk, you really want to make sure that you're going more frequently, because we want to mitigate any of those things that could get out of control.
And diabetes is, you know, on the rise. More people seem to be coming down with the type 2 diabetes as adults. And what are some things that folks should be on the lookout for on that front?
Well, you know, I think it goes along with heart disease. So the same things that we're doing to combat heart disease, we can combat to fight diabetes. So making sure that we're exercising, that we're eating right, that we're eating, that we're looking at our labels. You know, diabetes is, well, maybe not always preventable. You can put it at bay if you do the right things. So I think if you're on the lookout for it, it could be that you're genetically disposed to it. So just making sure that you know what those factors are.
And I had to pee a lot.
Ah.
And I said, this is unusual. And I went in to see the doc, and the doc said, yeah, you know what? You've got elevated sugar levels. You've got diabetes. And he put me on some medication. What are things that folks want to keep an eye on as they, in terms of being alert to the possibility that you've got diabetes?
So you hit the mark on it with having to pee a lot. Another one is being thirsty all the time. Uncontrolled diabetes can lead to blurry vision issues. They don't heal as well. So if you bump yourself and you get a small nick and it's just, you think it's superficial and it's just not healing, that can also be a sign of diabetes. So I think being really in tune with what your body is.
And just for folks who maybe aren't aware of the impact of diabetes, it's basically the sugar starts getting a little too high in your bloodstream, right?
That is it. So your sugars start to rise. And so we've got very specific markers when it comes to diabetes. So there's no diabetes, pre-diabetes, diabetic, and then uncontrolled diabetes. And so knowing where you fall in that whole range is really important. Because a provider's going to want to know, is it been elevated for a long time? And an A1C can tell you that. That's the test that they run. And what that does is it tells you over a 3-month time period what your blood sugar has been. So a healthy blood sugar is anything under 5.5. We want to keep it below that. When you start going up above 5.5 to 6.5-ish, and again, there's lots of different literature out there, so, you know, different sites are going to tell you different numbers, but wanting to keep it low, and again, you can keep it low when you change your diet, you get good exercise, keep that blood pressure down because it's all correlated, and doing all those things are really going to be of benefit to you.
And it seems like what happens is once that blood sugar goes up, it really starts to melt down your vascular system.
It sure does. It sure does. So again, understanding what those risk factors are and keeping them at that. So if you've got a family, history of diabetes, making sure that you're checking it frequently.
And that can, of course, lead to a whole lot of other cascading problems in your body with potential amputation of your limbs or internal organ damage or all the rest of that.
Yep, your vision, your ability to feel things. People get what we call neuropathy, which means it's severe tingling in the fingers and then can't feel things. Just thinking walking barefoot benignly in your house and you bump into something and don't think about it, then that could lead to something on your foot that maybe you can't see or you can't feel.
We got about half a minute left. You want to mention anything else in our remaining time in terms of what folks need to do to stay healthy?
Well, you know, Jim, I want to know what you did when you got out of the hospital and what are some things that you changed?
Oh, you know, I was already, when I got the diagnosis, exercising quite a bit more. I went very low carb, and then, you know, it was a little bit of weakness getting out of the hospital, but I just kept working until I felt better and was able to, get the pain went away from where they tore me apart and was feeling a lot better. But you know what? We are out of time. Thanks so much to Ann Hoffman, my guest from the Pima County Health Department, in helping us understand what we need to do to stay healthy.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana. Plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
The extraordinary beauty and craftsmanship of Mexican artisans is yours at Clay and Cloth in Barrio Viejo, featuring gorgeous clay pottery sourced from southern Mexico, including Oaxaca, Puebla, Merida, and Hidalgo. Also discover amazing textiles you won't find anywhere else in Tucson. Clay and Cloth also has an incredible selection of new Dia de los Muertos merchandise. See the selection on Instagram at Mad Max the Dog Shop and visit Clay and Cloth. Open Tuesday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at 310 South Convent, just south of Cushing. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rieto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. I'm your guest host, Tucson Sentinel government and political impact reporter Jim Nintzel, and I'm filling in for Bill as he takes a much-needed break. I'm joined now by author Richard Grant, whose new book is A Race to the Bottom of Crazy, Dispatches from Arizona. Welcome to the show, Richard.
Hey, Jim.
So this book chronicles your return to Tucson after spending a decade in Mississippi. What brought you back to the old Pueblo?
I was just missing the kind of sensory feel of the place, the spicy kick in the food and the way the light falls and the mountains rising out of the desert and some old friends and the pace of life. But it was kind of the sensory thing. Just found myself craving the dry air and the long horizons, and the carne asada tacos.
Yeah, those are
Let's
hard.
Let's not forget those.
You don't find them like that anywhere else.
No.
Although Mississippi had probably some pretty good chow.
Well, the barbecue is exceptionally good, and the fried chicken is. I didn't think I liked fried chicken until I went to the Deep South. It turns out I love it.
This book has a lot of stories in it, both about your travels in Arizona since your return and other tales before you left, and kind of thinking back to how Tucson has changed. And what are you hoping readers are going to take away from the book?
Well, I just hope they keep turning the pages and get entertained. And I just hope it's a pleasurable read more than anything else. I mean, I think of it as a kind of Arizona-centric memoir. So you'll learn stuff about Arizona history and Arizona issues. I wrote about the water issue and the way that we're mining our water resources like we once did with copper.
Yeah, are you kind of amazed at the way people can just stick a straw into the aquifer in the rural parts of the state and just start farming alfalfa or whatever they want?
I think it's astounding. Well, that's part of the reason why the book is called A Race to the Bottom of Crazy, because we're racing to the bottom of our aquifers, and that's insane. The aquifer over in Cochise County, I remember reading that it could have served Tucson for 900 years, but it's nearly gone now because of unrestricted water use by out-of-state farms.
And you also spent some time with some Arizona politicians. And judging from those encounters, do you think there's any likelihood that we're going to see a rush to reform our water laws?
I don't know. I mean, they just tried and failed again, I think, to regulate groundwater pumping. I mean, it surely will come to our senses sooner or later.
What did you take away from spending time with some of Arizona's politicians? You went on a boat cruise with Paul Gosar and a few others.
A sunset boat cruise on the Colorado River with Paul Gosar and the kind of MAGA faithful. I don't know. I like to meet people face to face. You know, I enjoyed meeting them and hearing their point of view. I'm not a very partisan figure, shall we say. So I don't necessarily agree with the MAGA point of view, but I also insist on viewing them as my fellow humans. And so I was glad to spend some time on a boat with them and hear what they had to say.
And what you were born in Malaysia? Is that right?
Yeah, I'm not really from anywhere, Jim. I was born in Malaysia to British parents, and then we moved to Kuwait. My dad was in the shipping business. Then we moved to London, England, and I was told, well, this is where you're from. But I thought, where's the sunshine? What's all this? What is this cold, damp place where I don't understand the culture? So I never really felt at home in London, but I guess I was more shaped by it than anywhere. And then in my early 20s, I started rambling around America, and then in 1991, I kind of rolled into Tucson and decided I would rent a house for a couple of months, and that turned into 20 years.
You before you started writing the books, you were making a living as a freelance writer. And how did you get into that business?
Well, I didn't know what I wanted to do apart from travel and not have a boss and not have a 9-to-5. So I got mugged in New Orleans, and I was homeless for a few weeks on the streets of the French Quarter. And I would sleep in the parking lot of the Marriott Hotel on Canal Street. And then during the day, I would lie out by the swimming pool and I would write long letters to friends back home in London. And I would use my English accent to persuade the staff that I was a hotel guest. In fact, I was sleeping in the hotel parking lot at night. But anyway, one of my friends had started working for a magazine, and he read those letters, and he said, if you clean these up a bit, we can pay you money and publish these. And I was like, bing, here's a way to keep traveling. And it was a very meager living for at least 20 years, but I had my freedom.
And that you are somebody who is something of a nomad. I mean, you wrote about nomads, I think, in your first book.
Yeah,
Nomads.
I was very, very restless as a young man. I remember there was a period of about 14 years where I didn't spend more than 3 consecutive weeks in the same place. I would just start climbing the walls and have to leave.
Do you think that is related to the traveling you did as a kid?
I don't know.
What was it that pushed you out onto the road so much?
I think it's just a human personality type. I think some people are just born that way. That's my conclusion. In fact, they've identified a gene I read the other day, a wandering gene.
Is that right?
And if that research is accurate, I'm pretty sure that I have that gene.
Well, they have tests for that these days. What led you here to Arizona?
I-10, baby. I was I was traveling with my girlfriend at the time. We were supposed to go to Santa Fe, and she had a job in a restaurant there. She wanted to be a chef. It was like 20 below zero in Santa Fe, and it was 70 in Tucson. And I had a friend who'd moved to Tucson from Philadelphia. I said, well, let's just go to Tucson and wait for the storm to blow over in New Mexico. And then we came into Tucson. I remember coming into downtown Tucson. And I mean, it was kind of weird and rickety.
Yeah, this is the early 90s,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, this is like 1991. It kind of reminded me of a Tom Waits song. There was that Wigger Armor was there, had the kind of cracked mannequins wearing wigs in the window. And there were these kind of seedy bars and cafes. And the Chicago musical instrument store was down there. And, you know, the Hotel Congress, I fell in love with that place immediately. And we stayed at the Congress for a while. And then we rented a house at Speedway and Fourth Avenue for $300 a month. And you're starting out as a freelance journalist, low overheads are really the key to making the whole thing work.
Yeah, it really was remarkable how cheap it was to live in this town.
Yeah, buy like a five-pound sack of pinto beans, and you're paying $300 a month. I mean,
You get by. And I don't know if that's true today, but let's come and revisit that after our next commercial break. We'll be right back with author Richard Grant talking about his new book and his whole career as an author.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. In 2006, Pima County voters approved the Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year Regional Transportation Plan and half-cent sales tax. They are both effective through June 30th, 2026. For the region to receive continued funding for another 20 years, the RTA is developing a new plan and tax extension for voter consideration. Public input will be key. To receive updates on a new 20-year plan in development, visit rtanext.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Tucson Sentinel, and I'm filling in for Bill as he takes a much-needed break. I'm here with author Richard Grant, whose new book is A Race to the Bottom of Crazy, Dispatches from Arizona. Hey, Richard, have you travel around a lot? Have you ever been to Silver City, New Mexico?
I have been to Silver City. Ate some excellent Mexican food there last time. I can't remember the name of the restaurant, though, but it's a famous joint.
Well, our friends over in Silver City and Grant County are ready to welcome you back with open arms. Just 3 hours east of Tucson, there's so much to do in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, including hiking in the Gila National Wilderness and visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. For a complete listing of many things to do and great places to stay, visit southwestnewmexico.org. So, Richard, I first discovered your work with your book God's Middle Finger, which was an account of your travels in the Sierra Madre mountains in New Mexico, which of course one of my favorite movies was Treasure of the Sierra Madre. Yeah. Growing up, and you know, I'd always had this romantic vision of it, and I was fascinated. You were sort of told not to go down there, that it was too dangerous.
We're talking about the Sierra Madre in Sonora, Chihuahua, Durango,
which is
Sinaloa,
separate from the
It's not the same one as in that movie, I don't think. I think that's the one in eastern
right?
Mexico.
Oh, okay, Mexico. Okay.
Yeah.
But I saw this romantic vision of these mountains. You were warned, hey, don't go down there.
Yeah.
And you did anyway.
You're giving me a bad feeling. the Sierra Madre, it's... let's see, it's about 900 miles long, and it starts just south of the border here, and it's essentially like a Wild West that sits on America's back doorstep. It's a lawless area. They grow a lot of drugs. A lot of drugs come through there. Murder is the number one cause of death for males, followed by cirrhosis of the liver. So you can draw some conclusions from that. And I decided it would be a good idea to travel the length of this mountain range that everyone kept warning me was very, very dangerous. And that turned into my book, God's Middle Finger. And sure enough, my luck ran out and I got the worst scare of my life. I ended up getting hunted through the woods at night by these kind of Mexican hillbillies in Durango that were armed. And it was a very, very frightening experience.
The bad hombres.
Muy malos.
And you revisit that story. I did.
I revisited because, you know, now I became a father in my later years, shall we say.
You and me both.
And I just was, you know, when you return to a place, you know, this is a book about coming back to Tucson, you kind of reassess your younger self. And I was just kind of like astounded at the risks I would take when I was young. And so I wrote a chapter about the risks I used to take and trying to figure out why I used to take them. But that was top of the list, was that Sierra Madre, God's Middle Finger trip.
And did you come to any conclusions about why you used to take these risks?
I think it was a kind of attempt to extract the sort of feeling of being maximally alive. I think for me, yeah, taking the risk was a way to feel as intensely alive as I could.
And fatherhood.
Yes, fatherhood changed that. Yeah, my number one job is to stay alive, right?
If I
were to throw my life away on some adventure, it's like my kid would lose her father, and she'd also think her father was an idiot for throwing his life away.
How did you end up in Mississippi?
Mississippi, so I've got kind of a long, deep relationship with Mississippi that began here in Tucson. I was listening to the radio, driving across town, and this was in the early 90s, and this blues song came on the radio by a guy named Junior Kimbrough, who was one of these hill country bluesmen in Mississippi. They have this kind of droning, they don't change chord. It's kind of this hypnotizing music. And I'd never heard anything like it before, and I went crazy for it. And I bought the Junior Kimbrough album. I found out there was another artist, R.L. Burnside.
Sure.
I really liked him. Then I found out that two young white college kids had managed to get $1 million in debt recording these blues guys for their label, which was called Fat Possum Records in Oxford, Mississippi. And I'm like, that's got to be a magazine story. So I drove out to Oxford, Mississippi, and interviewed the guys who ran the record label, interviewed a lot of bluesmen, went to Junior Kimbrough's juke joint and just was captivated by the place. And also, which I wasn't expecting, Oxford, Mississippi has one of the greatest bookstores in America. It's a very literary town, William Faulkner's old hometown. And ever after that, I would go down to Mississippi once or twice a year to kind of keep up my friendships there. Because I liked the way they sat around on porches and drank whiskey and told funny stories. And then I ended up buying an old farmhouse in the Mississippi Delta. And that turned into a book called Dispatches from Pluto, because the farmhouse was in Pluto, Mississippi. Then I got interested in Natchez, Mississippi, and wrote a book about that. And it was after that book we started to get homesick for Tucson.
What's changed in Tucson in the time that you were away?
Number one, the cost of living, the cost of rents and property prices has rocketed up. Feels like a lot more international. I meet people from all over the world in a way that I didn't used to. And I think, I mean, the city's obviously grown. I think it put on 250,000 people while we were gone. Seems a little bit more sophisticated in some ways, and it seems a little more run down in others. Downtown looks very different. Downtown has sort of come up and become gentrified.
Yeah, and a lot of changes in the downtown area, and you came back right before COVID hit. You literally
right
arrived.
It
started breaking out as you arrived, I think.
Yeah, right? we got back here late February 2020, and then we couldn't find a house to buy or rent. We were just kind of surfing around these short term rentals, and then lockdown hit, and then. After, you know, it's supposed to last 2 weeks or whatever.
Right.
Don't worry, we got this in hand, this COVID thing. A couple of weeks of lockdown, it'll all be gone. And then when it became apparent that that this was not going to happen, the housing market softened, and we were fortunate enough to kind of get a place, buy a house that we love. So yeah, I think I don't know what would happen. I think COVID got us into that house, frankly.
Well, it's some good fortune out of a tough spot. But you're also a real outdoors guy. Is that one of the things you love about Tucson?
Yeah,
and Arizona for that.
Yeah,
matter?
I mean, I like Tucson fine, but I'm really here for the desert and the mountains, within range of Tucson.
One of the
reasons we came back was to introduce our daughter to the joys of hiking and camping and exploring the outdoors here.
And how has she taken to it?
She really likes it. Yeah,
tents
are exciting.
I don't mean to spoil the book, but that's sort of the end of the book is a camping trip with your daughter.
It is the end of the book. Yeah,
and you. It seems like you're like, I'm just really blessed to be here, and I think your kid's like, let's go home and tell mama about this. And
yeah, she wanted to go on a father-daughter camping trip, and then yeah, we had this delightful time in one of the Sky Island mountain ranges, and you know, we try and restrict her screen time. Well, we do restrict her screen time, but you take a kid out for 3 days with no screens, it's just amazing to watch what happens to their imaginations and also their sensory awareness of their surroundings. I mean, it was just a marvelous thing to see. But then, but yeah, after 3 days, she was like, "I want my mama. Can we bring mama next time?"
So you also talk about your friendship with Chuck Bowden in this book, and you know, he was a longtime Arizona writer. And talk a little bit about Chuck in the couple of minutes we have remaining here.
Yeah, I mean, we were good friends, and he was kind of a mentor to me in a way, although we never used that word. But I would, you know, I'd go over to his house on 9th Street, and you know, Chuck was a big drinker, and he would. He would sit in his backyard drinking red wine, even if it was 110 degrees. And he would talk to me about writing, about why it matters and how to do it. And I always left his house with like a list of books to read or a physical pile of books that I needed to read. And he was exceptionally generous in giving me contacts and story ideas. But yeah, I mean, I was over there 2-3 times a week for many, many years.
You were familiar with his work, but you met him on a magazine assignment on some wildfire cover.
Yeah, we were both writing about smoke jumpers, which are wildland firefighters that parachute into fires. And their headquarters is in Missoula, Montana. And I met him at the smoke jumper headquarters. He was writing for a German magazine, and I was writing for a British magazine. We ended up in the bar, and I was like, I'd just never met anybody with a intellect like Chuck. He was kind of rugged and hard living, but extremely erudite and smart, and seemed to have read everything. He was in the bar drinking really nasty red wine, talking about like Dostoevsky and the Spanish Civil War and ancient Greece and Edward Abbey, who was his friend. Just these amazing monologues he would get into, and sometimes they veered off course, but sometimes they were just kind of entrancing.
All right, that is our show for today. My thanks to Richard Grant, author of A Race to the Bottom of Crazy, Dispatches from Arizona. Thanks for listening. Get your checkup and have a great afternoon.